Well, we've been teaching. I started teaching a series. Mike was talking about, again, over dealing with the areas of the Holy Spirit and things, and there's a number of things he touched in last week while I wasn't here. Praise God, which really appreciate Mike sharing the word. But we're going back into the Lord told me to teach on the areas of the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about those in the Scripture. There's a lot of, most of the church world today don't believe that we have those anymore. They're in the Scriptures. A lot of what really the body of Christ teaches anymore, generally, the body of Christ believes there's a lot of the New Testament we could just tear the pages out and throw it away because most of it's considered gone, you know? It's often funny, you know, I look at Jesus' ministry from the time I remember as a young boy and in churches, and I would look at the ministry of Jesus and they would always tell you, we got to be like Jesus. And then I would look at Jesus because, you know, we'd have Jesus, we see Him in four Gospels. And then they would turn around and tell us that we don't do those things. But they kept telling us to be like Jesus. Well, that's the only example I had of Him. And they would tell us, well, you know, Jesus, we don't have healing anymore. We don't have this stuff. This stuff ain't around no more. But we don't do that. And then they would have a nerve to tell you to be like Jesus. Well, what is it? Jesus don't do anything anymore? He just sort of sits around up in heaven and, what, you know, He's got a recliner and He sits around up there and He's not doing anything. And but you know, there's one thing as I found out is in the Scriptures, you know, I had always had a desire for the supernatural. I've had a desire for the time I was a kid. I always had a desire for the supernatural. That was one of the things why I, as a young child, as a young boy, I left Christianity. It wouldn't have nothing to do with it because it didn't have anything. They weren't, the people I was around, they weren't going nowhere and doing nothing. They weren't, because they believed. Now, they believed in you needed to be born again, but that's as far as it went. You got born again and then you're just sort of trying to make it here and hoping God don't kill you early because they believe, you know, God killed people for a reason. You know, somebody died and, you know, and when I was a young kid in church and I saw the things that went on and things that happened and it was always God did it. And I used to have trouble figuring out who the devil being bad because every bad thing that happened, God did it. So, you know, He sent the storm and killed him. He did this. He did that. He did all this stuff. And I used to, as a kid, think, well, why are we so mad at the devil? It seems to me, I sort of started thinking, well, God's a problem. You know, we got trouble because we got this God and He's out doing all this bad stuff. And so to me, it was absolutely a crazy. I couldn't, as a kid, I thought this thing's ludicrous. And it really took me 30 years. And I got born again because of a man named Kenneth E. Hagin, who turned around and preached about a good God. And I said, man, this is a different God than we had. But all those years, I was in a search for things. All the years, see, I believe in a spirit realm. I believe there's a realm that we can't see with the eye, but it exists. And that realm has more influence on this realm than anything you do in this realm. That realm has the influence. But I found out that basically, my great problem is the church never did anything about reaching that realm. They were all about this realm. Everything was about this realm. And they never lived like there was an unseen realm. They never lived like most people and most born-again Christians will live and die like there is no spirit realm. Oh, they'll say things, they believe there's a God, and that's only to an extent. No more than you believe in the spirit realm itself can you believe in God. It's the existence of a realm. We believe in a Jesus whom we cannot see. We still sing songs, He's alive. Well, is He alive? Well, He's alive. Well, I'm going to tell you, if that becomes a reality, it'll change your life. If you really believe He's alive. You see, the spirit realm is the eternal realm. The physical realm is not. This physical realm is a temporal place. In fact, this earth as we know it's going to be destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This is all temporal. If you live like this is permanent, you will never be spiritual. And the church has always hurt spirituality because they've always focused on the physical. When we deal in the areas of divine healing does not come from the natural. No doctor does divine healing. No, divine healing comes from the realm of the spirit. And you contact it through the Spirit. You don't contact it through the natural. If you don't contact it in the Spirit, it doesn't manifest in the natural. It doesn't happen. And so there's a difference. That doesn't mean that we can't do things naturally concerning health. But if you want to get over into God's place where God's healing, you're going to have to step into that realm and contact into that realm of the unseen. You know, I was just listening yesterday to the radio as a minister was on talking, and I was out running some errands in the afternoon. I went to check the mail for the church and things, and there's a minister on, and he was talking about this other minister died, and then he was talking about this minister now is being made whole in heaven now, you know, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about? The guy's body died. When you die, you don't get healed. Your body's dead because it didn't get healed. Your spirit ain't sick. If your spirit's sick, you're going to hell. You were born again. You have the nature of God in you. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. There's nothing wrong with the person on the inside. You were born again. Old things passed away. All things became new. I'm so tired of it. The guy makes a statement. He's went in now to eternal life. If you don't have eternal life on the living side, you don't get it on the other side. You have to get it here to have it there. But it's all this nonsense, unbiblical. And they swear, we preach the gospel. I hardly hear the gospel preached anymore. I almost never hear it preached. People have their made-up ideas. Read the Bible. The Bible is so glorious. It is so marvelous. It is so wonderful. And it's been so watered down. Oh my words, to fit our religious ideas. To fit what we think religiously. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is real. He is alive. His presence is here today. See, I don't feel it. I don't have to feel a thing. If his presence isn't here today, he's a liar. It's just that simple. I don't have to pray to get his presence here. I'm not trying to find a God way out there. God moved in. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and people are trying to reach God. Churches teach people to try to reach God. Nonsense. You got him. Hallelujah. He moved in. We're the temple of God, the Spirit of God. See, Paul asked the church at Corinth. We need to ask the church today in America. Don't you ever read the Bible? Don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? That's what Paul had to say to them. My God, he needs to say that to the church today. You're the temple. God's already, you want to get in contact with God? He's right on the inside of you. You don't have to yell out at all. Glory to God, He's right there in you. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. You couldn't get any better than that. God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. Oh, my. Dear Lord, you talk about God wonderful to His people. He is so much better than we deserve. You know, just think about you, all since you've been born again, how many crazy things you've done, dumb things you've done, things you've missed the mark on. God, the Holy Spirit, still inside of you. He didn't say, well, you scumbag, I'm out of here. He's still there on the inside of you, helping you along. See, we can go over to things of the Spirit and talk about gifts of the Spirit, but if you aren't, if God being in you is not real, all of this stuff is just nice statements made and nice things that don't ever become a reality. The spirit realm needs to become a reality to you. It has to become real. Kenneth E. Hagin made this statement one time. Because the number of things that over the years that happened to him and things that he saw in the Spirit. But one of the things, a gift of the Spirit that operated through him was he would see a number of times things over in the areas of the spirit realm. And dealing with people lots of times in demonic areas and that stuff. But he made this statement one time. He said, if God opened the eyes of most Christians and they could see into the spirit realm and they saw all the demon activity that was going on, he made this statement. He said, most Christians would literally die of fear. See, there's demonic stuff going on out here. There's angelic stuff going on out here. There's things going on. See, there's motives of why. See, when Paul wrote, Paul understood that. He said in Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, this world and spirit, and heavenly places. In other words, we're dealing with demon forces. You know, it's just like what we do, the church. I saw this happening back years ago when the church started getting really political and getting so involved in the political realm. They had the idea that if we can just control who we get into office, that's going to control. Well, we voted Christians in office and they did as bad as the sinners did. They didn't do any better at things. And why? Because we're dealing with demonic forces. It ain't just people. Christians can be influenced by demonic powers and yield to them. And if people don't, well, most churches, I take you right through this commercial, most of the churches and that stuff, they'll say about maybe the devil, most of them don't even believe the devil exists and hardly anything goes on anymore. They don't even believe in it. And if you don't believe in it, he already owns you. He owns you. He can manifest himself through you and do stuff. And you'll just, well, you know, today the church has psychology. Oh man, the devil loves psychology. Oh, he is so excited that the church has bought the psychology thing. You know, there's psychology, we're just going to fix all. No, we're not. We're dealing with demonic powers, and we're dealing with demonic powers that are influencing people. Influencing people. Right now in our nation, I tell you what, we need a move of God. We need an awakening concerning the demonic things that are going on in our nation. Loads of stuff is going on in our nation because of demonic forces doing things. It's influence on people. And we think, well, if we just get the right vote, or we just do this, or we just do that. Has that worked? You know, the Republicans told us they were nice people. Well, have they done good? You give them everything in Washington. You make them, you know, give them a president. You give them the House and the Senate. What have they done? They still follow the same demons that they already lived to. And they, why? It's because God is not working in Washington. They don't want him there. They're happy the way things are. They're well taken care of. They are looked after. And their flesh likes it the way that it is. And we need to understand that. You know, people think, well, no, if you just get the right guy. If people don't awaken to the spiritual nature of things, nothing changes. It only gets worse. It never moves toward the better. It only gets worse. And we need to understand that. We need to understand things in our country. This is why, if we don't have a move of the Spirit, there will not be a change in America. In fact, America will just grow worse and worse and worse and worse. There's going to have to be a spiritual change, not a physical change. Just not because some people say they're Christian. That is not enough. Being a Christian don't mean you're going to do anything or the devil's going to get. You need to understand what the Bible teaches. You need to be able to walk in it. We need supernatural to happen in America to change things around. And if we don't push for, you know, I was just listening this morning, you know, coming into church, a local minister on the radio telling us how, you know, the things of these, you know, gifts and all that stuff, healing, that's all gone. We don't need none. That's the devil doing this stuff. And this is a local minister. This is what he's talking, going on and doing this stuff. He's talking about all this stuff that's going on out here. God's not doing any of that stuff. He's not doing any of these things. This is all evil. This is stuff that's going on. And so he considers I'm a deceived person. Well, I just feel so sorry for him. I already know that, and I'm not talking bad about the guy, the devil owns his pulpit. The devil's already deceived him. He thinks good comes from the devil, so don't, but you don't, just because you get healed, that don't mean it's God. That don't mean make it God. And I was just thought about this. I thought, gee, and people get sick in his church, they don't pray for them. And if they do pray for them, they don't believe God's going to do anything about it anyway. It's like, is this what we've come? Is this what we're at? Is this where we're at? Do you want to know why the people of this nation don't like the church? They listen to him. They listen to these people preach this garbage. I hated the church growing up because of the sickness they preached. They drove me from God, not to God. They make God as not good. Jesus Christ said the thief comes to sink, steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. Jesus is not a liar, but yet in America, most churches preach him as a liar. Oh, they'll say they don't, but they do. They tell he's going to be the guy that's going to do it. He's the guy that's going to kill your kid for a reason. He needs another star in heaven. Remember, that is such nonsense. I've heard those things saying, I think, oh, God, please. Do we have to keep listening to this? You know, it's bad when you have to ask God to remove ministers. Dear God, we need truth preached. Man, you can't bring hope. Hope is not, we had this thing here, a presidency that was based on bringing hope. Well, how did the hope turn out? The reason it turned out, because there's no substance to it. The church's message has hope because it has the supernatural in it. If you get born again, you get a changed life. People who say they accept Jesus and don't change, that's the biggest lie in the world. They never got saved. When I got born again, my life changed. The new birth causes a change. The supernatural is tied to Christianity. If you take them apart, there's no hope. There is no hope. You don't have a hope for a changed life if knowing Jesus don't supernaturally do something for you. When I came to Christ, it supernaturally changed me. I mean, my wife can testify to that. Hallelujah. Because she thought I was going through one of my phases again. She saw me try to make changes in my life, and you know what? She never saw anything ever work. And one day I accepted Jesus Christ, and she told me with her own mouth, she said, I'm living with a different man. She never said before when I turned over a new leaf. It was the same guy trying to act good. That's right. And that's all it was. And American Christianity, the majority of it is what it is. It is sinners trying to act good. They have never taken on a transformed life. They have never received Christ like the Scripture says, because they've never had it preached to them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It don't come by somebody ask Jesus to come into your heart. The Scripture don't even tell you to ever say that. They preach that as gospel. Well, show me it in the gospel where it says you're supposed to ask Jesus into your heart. And don't say it. That's man's idea. The Scripture don't even say to do that. But it sure does fit our nice, religious, cute things to say. I'll tell you what, is it ever nice? People don't get changed by it, but it's sure nice. We make people feel good. Just take Jesus into your heart and just go live like hell again. Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you, it really works out nice. I'll tell you what, you get God in you, God will change you. God changes lives. And this is why it's the supernatural. You can't separate the supernatural and have Christianity. Christianity was founded through the supernatural, and it cannot change. There's no such thing as a New Testament church that doesn't have the supernatural. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Can't be New Testament. The New Testament church started with the glory of God. And I read the book of Revelation, and up to that time, and the church leaves, folks, it's always supernatural. It don't change. What has changed is the belief of men today. We preach a gospel that suits society. And we can know that we're doing that because the more society changes, the more the gospel changes to try to fit the society. You know what our society really wants today in people? Their heart craves for something supernatural. I always crave for the supernatural. As a young, I crave for it. My desire was for something supernatural. I wanted it. See, people thought I was weird. You know, that's one of the things I got involved into sorcery, because they believed in the supernatural. I couldn't go to the church. They didn't have it and didn't believe in it. No, God don't do that stuff anymore. You know, Jesus is all talk now. All talk, but he don't do nothing. Just all talk. He talks nice stuff, but he don't do a thing. Well, I found out, I'd go over to sorcery, demons would do stuff. And they did. They did things. You can ask my wife. We'd have manifestations of spirits in our house. Now we have manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I know how to get spiritual things to manifest. I know how to do it because there is a spirit realm. See, I've always believed in it. Look, folks, nations that I have been to and I've preached in, America is the hardest place to preach to get anything done. The Church of America is the worst place to try to get manifestations of the Spirit because we have all of our psychology, our education, and all of our stuff. You know, most nations and their religions, they believe in the supernatural. And it is easy for them, when you preach the gospel to them of the supernatural, they want it. Not America. America wants a nice, tame, little, calm thing that we can go when we have a little bit of trouble, go ask God, and then just go run off and live your own life any way you want. Then just come back when trouble comes and God comes and fixes it. And then I just go and I do this. That's what America wants. America wants a God that asks nothing of you. That's what America wants. And see, I went overseas, easiest thing in the world to get manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Easiest thing in the world. Because most religions believe in the supernatural. Christianity in America has lost it. It's lost it. And we need to bring it back. We need to come back to the supernatural. Hallelujah. Well, I said all those things. But hallelujah. We'll get over the gifts of the Spirit here, I'm sure. But see, we need things. We need to get ourselves over into a focus where we crave and desire. We want a move of God, that our desire for a move of God is more important to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God than anything. In 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, the chapter ends, it says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." He said, desire the best gifts, desire, earnestly desire, earnestly desire. That word earnestly there means to covet, it means to crave. Do you crave the gifts of the Spirit? Do you crave manifestations of God? It's like the minister this morning. He had no craving for any of it. He believed it was all wrong. He believed it was wrong to have that. He made the statement about falling under the power. He said, people falling under the power, that's not God. He said, people just use that thing with Paul about Paul falling on the road to Damascus. He said, that's the only time in the Bible where it shows somebody fell. I thought, man, he never reads the Bible. I can go through the Old Testament and show you time and time again, people fell under the power. In fact, I can show you the Old Testament where God actually knocked a person out in the power and stood them back on their feet. Man, when they start standing them up, that's something. But this guy's sitting around saying, he said that. I mean, only the time in the Bible it ever talks about, I think. Well, see, I understand him. He reads his Bible with his religious colored glasses on and he never sees any God do anything good like that, because we don't allow that. We don't allow that. See, that's bad, so we ignore that. It's not there. Well, I'm sorry, it's there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, so we're supposed to desire, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And the best gifts. Hallelujah. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter over in verse 1, I'm going to read down through. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Paul said you shouldn't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Well, we can say this today, that generally the church is ignorant of spiritual things, things of the Spirit. Now, I did say in there in teaching before, and I'll say again, the word gifts is italicized. Should be in your Bible, because the word gifts there is not there. The translators added that. But actually, it's not there. Really, what he's talking about is not being ignorant of spiritual things, stuff of the Spirit, things of the Spirit. Don't be ignorant of it. Don't be ignorant of spiritual things. You know, do you ever think about the New Testament says, know no man after the flesh? Most people only ever know anybody that around them is by the flesh of what they do. Most Christians don't know people. It says, know no man after the flesh. In other words, we're supposed to know spiritually what's going on with people around us. That should be the common place. It's not. You see, if we do everything from the natural standpoint, what happens? Lots of times, we don't realize the power of our own human spirit that's been created in the nature of God. Our own human spirit can pick up a lot of things. We used to have this called before, they used to call it having intuition. Now, people get upset about that stuff. Every believer should have spiritual intuition about things. You should be able to sense things, good and bad, and not judge things just by what you see going on around you. I've seen many times things look good, but I get a sense there's something wrong and find out later on that, yeah, there is something wrong. But everything looks good. I've seen on the other side of it something that didn't look right, but yet I had a sense it was right. Later on found out it was right. See, you got to learn, you can't live by what you see. People who live by what they see, the only thing they can ever have is religion. Religion is based on what you see. It's what you wear, it's what you drive, it's what you do. It's your, you know, how many times you kneel or how many times you stand up or how many times you do this, you do that, you make this confession, you say this, you think, then everything's all right. Religion is based on you followed the rules, you're all right, you know, you get brownie points. And so God is so tickled. It's not based upon faith. To walk, the only place that you can really, you can walk in the Spirit, you can only do it by faith, because it's an unseen realm. That's the only way. There is no such thing as people who don't operate in the realm of the Spirit are people of faith. They are not. It requires faith to operate in the realm of the Spirit, because faith is not based on what you see. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's what's not seen. Faith is based on what you don't see. The Word of God says something's true, but we don't see it, yet we believe it so because the Word said so, even though I can't see it. Well, it's concerning the gifts of the Spirit. We can't flow over into the gifts of the Spirit and their operation if we want to do it by sight. You can't do it by sight. God requires faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. You cannot possibly please God by what you do if you are not operating in faith. I don't care how good it might seem. It does not please God unless you're doing it by faith. You can't please Him. It says it's impossible. So anybody can preach and say whatever they want. It's impossible if it's not done by faith. If you don't know what God wants you to do, what you're doing, you couldn't do it by faith. You have to know that the Word told you to do such and such. You'd have to know that you did such and such. You know, you couldn't, like with me, I can't look in the Scripture and see where I was supposed to pastor a church or anything like that. I can't look in the Scripture and find that. But I had to have God tell me that. Faith comes by hearing, folks. I couldn't do it unless God would have spoke to me about it. I looked in the book and I didn't find Ed Gibson's name one time in the book. But I had to know by faith that God called me to do it. See, you can't go do it just because you want to. Because you could never do it by faith. If you don't know God called you to do something, you go start doing it, you're just doing it on your own. You have to know. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know what God's will is, you couldn't be in faith. You have to know what God's will is. This is our whole search about why we get into the Word, is why I teach and I do what I do. It's so we go into the Word, you find out what the Bible says. And see, one of the reasons we don't have manifestations of the Spirit in the church world in America much is because it's not being taught. If it's not taught, people don't have faith for it. God can't manifest it, because you can't get Him to manifest it without your faith, because it don't please Him if you don't have faith. So if you don't have faith, then He's not pleased. He won't manifest it. If I want to please God, I don't please God by me praying and fasting for, you know, 6 weeks on end or something. We please God by finding out what God's Word says, then acting upon what His Word says to do. That's acting in faith. That's what pleases Him. Therefore, then He manifests whatever it was that we're believing Him about. So what we have to do, see, I remember, you know, I always think about this as Kenneth E. Hagin was at a church ministering many years ago, but a pastor came along to him and said to him, he said, you know, we've been for 2 years, he said, we have 24 hours a day prayer going on. Somebody's praying. They broke it up like in blocks, like people would pray for half an hour, but all the members in the church would around the clock. For 2 years, he said, we've been praying for a move of the Spirit in the church. And he said, if anything's happened, he said, I don't know it. He said, nothing seems to be going on. Kenneth Hagin said to him, so let me ask you a question. Have you been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit in church? And he said, well, no. Well, he said, well, the people ain't got no faith for it. He said, you can pray all you want, but if people don't have faith for it, he said, you got to teach it. Most churches you will go to, the reason why they don't have moves of God, because they're trying to get what they never teach. It's like a minister said to me years ago. He said to me, well, if God heals, why don't he heal in my church? I said, do you preach healing? Well, no, we don't believe in it. Well, I said, well, you don't have no faith for it. It can't happen there. You know, you don't preach salvation. Nobody gets born again. It's just, I mean, there is such stupidity out here. There's such ignorance in the church world. And you know, the bad thing about it is we don't want to admit it. We're stupid. We keep patting ourselves in the back how wonderful we are. Dear God, let's admit it. I'll tell you what, if we don't repent, ain't nothing going to change. Dear Lord, many times I had to stop and say, Lord, boy, have I been dumb. Dear God, hallelujah. Have you had patience on me or what? Dear Lord. But I'm going to tell you, today, ignorance is applauded. If you want to go somewhere in the church world, just preach nonsense. I mean, my God, they'll give you a doctorate and everything. I mean, they'll just pat you on the back. You preach the truth, and they'll say, yeah, he's one of those. Oh, my God. He believes the Word of God's literal. Well, if it's not, then we have no basis of salvation. We have no basis to even be born again. We have no basis to be saved if it isn't literal. There's no basis for it. I'm going to tell you what, it's literal. The more I act like it's literal and believe it's literal, the more God manifests through it. I'll tell you what, keep acting literal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump down here to in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Down to verse 4, it said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation is given to each one. There is no such thing in the body of Christ that there will not be manifestations of the power of God through a Christian. It is designed that everybody... Now understand, the gifts of the Spirit that we'll look at as we go along, these they're called, here he calls them manifestations, and I really like that term really in a sense better than gifts because of the years that I've operated in. It's how the Holy Spirit manifests through believers. Most of the church world wants God to manifest differently than what the Bible says he'll manifest. I want to tell you this, we need to come back over and have the manifestations that the Bible says. That's what we want. You know, I've heard over the years it taught, and I remember Dr. Kenneth Hagin talked to us in school, and he said about, you know, where the Bible says about greater things, when Jesus said, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. And people always talk about the greater things. He said, let's first get what he already had, and then we'll go on to greater. He said, we ain't even got the things, he said. But we always want to move on to the greater. And that's been the emphasis of the church. The church wants something, and they don't even have the least. And they're trying to go to the greatest. The church has been at the bottom of the stairway and has never gone up the stairway at all. Because the only thing they want is to make the top step in one step. I want the big stuff. I want the big stuff. Look, if you're not going to take the rest of the steps, forget it. There's things that you have to walk in, things you have to do. We take steps into these things. If there's going to be great, I'm going to tell you what, I don't need greater miracles than happened with the apostles and that stuff. Let's have that in the church. Let's have those manifestations in here. Let's have that stuff going on. Now, over the years, I've seen these things. I mean, now, it's one thing, I've seen them in greater modes, be it overseas when I ministered people. I've seen than here in America. I've seen them over there in flow and things. I've ministered over there and seen more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit and stuff happening and going on. And I'll tell you, someday just so easy to flow into it. Lots of times because they're not so educated above their intelligence like we are. And they're not sitting in reason about it. Most of them realize, if God don't help me, I ain't got a chance. Most Americans think, if God don't help me, I'll find somebody. I'll call the government. I'll do this or I'll do that. Americans always have a plan B and a plan C. You'll understand this about faith. If you learn to walk by faith, you only have one plan. If you have more than one plan, you'll probably never see what you're believing for coming to pass. Well, because if it don't work, I can just jump over to this, or I'll just do that. You have to learn to, I'm going to stand in faith. Randall Greer said it, and I agree with him 100%. He said, if you have some kind of other plan in there, he said, if you aren't over the place, if God doesn't do whatever it is you do, you just can't make it without it. He said, you're probably never really come to a place of faith where you'll ever see that come to pass. Most people always have another plan. I mean, just stop, put on the brakes, say, God, I'm going to trust you in this, and I ain't going to nothing else. That's what I did as a young Christian and things. I would stop and say, I'm not going to something else. I don't care if I can afford it. I'm going to believe God to do this thing here, and I'm not going to let anything else sit and touch that thing. I'm not going to accept it except for God bringing that to pass in my life. And I'll tell you what, that's what changed my life, because God started doing things. God started making things happen. Just as Wanda and I, we looked at the little things that we did, but we just stopped and said, hey, God, we're going to trust you in this. We're not going to go do anything else. We're just going to trust you to take care of us. And he proved himself. That God that was hidden manifested himself and showed us himself by doing things. And we could sit down and say, you know what? Person didn't do that. Somebody didn't do that. We believe God for money. Wouldn't tell anybody else, say nothing to nobody, and we're believing. Somebody just show up, give you money. Somebody'd show up and give you money. We had that happen so many numbers of times. We wouldn't say anything to anybody. We wouldn't go out and borrow it. We just say, we believe God's going to give us this money, and we just stand. We would not move from it, and money would show up. Money would show up. How many times people came and gave us money over the years? Things, stuff, I mean, I often said Wanda and I could write a book about the things. But just making a stand on stuff. See, this is about manifestations of the Spirit. You want to see manifestations of God. You got to come over where I'm going to stand in faith. I'm not going to do something else. If you have a plan B, you're probably going to have to use it. See, we get over, what are you going to do? What's going to? I just wanted you to know this. Most of the time that I have stood, lots of times, things usually don't happen till the last minute. The Bible says with faith and patience you'll inherit the promise. It don't say you just put your faith out and God gives it to you and you'll never have to use your patience. I'll tell you what, I had to learn to use patience a lot more than I wanted to. And you're going to have to learn to do that. God's going to stretch your patience out. I want you to understand why. If God cannot train you in patience, you will never have great faith. He must be able to train you, and that's what he would do to me. See, I thought, man, he's just being hard. But what he was doing was training me to wait. And he would put me in uncomfortable situations when it looked like, man, if this thing don't change, well, we're sunk. But what he was doing was getting me over to be patient, to wait, that he'll take care of it. Oh, my, did I have some strains when I first started off? I'm going to tell you what. I wanted to complain, and sometimes I did. It wasn't easy. But I had to learn, and my whole problem was with this. I was impatient. Most people's faith don't ever develop far because they're impatient. We live in an impatient society. We live in a society that wants everything to come quickly, fix everything right away. You know, we have a storm, we ought to snap our fingers, the government shows up instantly, and they're there, and they hand you the food and the water and that stuff, and it is. We want all this. And that's why people can't. You can't trust God because the churches don't teach people to trust God. You know, people, they teach you just look to everything else, and you know, the churches are out here looking to the government for money and taking money from the government for their programs, and they are. I will not do that. I will not do that. I know churches, and they talk about church separation of church and state while they turn around and take tax dollars to, well, we're feeding the poor. Well, I'll tell you, you go feed them if you want to feed the poor, but quit taking people's tax dollars. They didn't give you that money, you took it. Knock this junk off. If God cannot bring it to you to fulfill it, he ain't as big as he said he was. Let's go do something else. Why would I want to serve a God who can't do it? He has to get the government to come and take care of it. Oh, man, I've had ministers come and then tell me, oh, yeah, you can get into this program and you can get money for that. Oh, they'll give you money. They'll do this and they'll do that. And they talk around and out there and I say, and I know where their love is. Their love is the money and the government. They can talk about God all they want, but it's all a lie. None of it's true. They don't trust God. My God, we got to take taxpayers' money. We got to get the taxpayers' dollars so we can make this thing work. Because God ain't good enough. If we want supernatural to come, we're going to have to throw ourselves over on God. We're going to have to lose our ignorance about the spirit realm. The spirit realm is a real place. It's more real than this realm. This realm came from the spirit realm. This realm was created from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is more real than this realm. And make it become more real to you. That it becomes more real, that unseen realm. The unseen realm talked about in the Bible, that becomes more real. That there's provision that God has for that realm. And that realm has the power to bring whatever provision, whatever you need, has the power to bring it to pass in this realm. It will bring it to pass. It'll happen. If you want to influence people about things, influence in the spirit realm and let the spirit realm influence people. That's why over time I said people would come and give us money. We didn't tell anybody, but what? Angels went out and influenced people because Wanda and I were in faith and influenced people to come and give us something. We didn't have to try. We didn't have to write out letters and tell people we're going under and, you know, we just can't make it, you know, and how bad it is. And I said, but we're in the ministry and if you don't help us now, we won't be able to pay our bills and we'll have to go off the air. Go off the air! Shut down! We don't need any more faithless. If God puts you on the air and He can't keep you on the air without you begging, shut it down. God told you to do something and He can't keep it running. It's my job. I remember telling this to your Lord as a young Christian. I said, I can't be doing all this stuff that Christians are telling you you got to do. I said, I can't do that, take care of my family and do all this stuff and serve you. I ain't got time. I ain't got time in a ministry to go chasing people around for money all the time, and I ain't got time to go do all this stuff. If I have to go do all that to make this thing work, man, I'm going to work for somebody else. It's too hard. It's too much. Out in Tulsa, back in the early 1980s, Oral Roberts had this big thing where he had these ministers get together, and all these ministers, they'd have this conference. And every year they'd meet together, thousands and thousands, probably tens of thousands of ministers. They would go to the baby center. And that baby center would fill up packed ministers. It's all ministers. And they were out there the one year and they were all talking about how hard it is in the ministry. And they're going through all the, they're just, you know, sad stories. All these sad stories about the ministry. I'm going to tell you, you'll never hear me talk bad about my ministry and being in the ministry. I just is beyond me that God would call Ed Gibson to preach His gospel. I'm in awe of that. I thought He'd get a better representative. He called me. Why would He call me to preach His gospel? What an honor. I'm going to tell you what. The president, I don't know if they want to make me dictator of the world. God asked me to preach His gospel. I mean, it's phenomenal that He'd do that. Well, they got up and talking how hard it was and all that stuff. And Oral Roberts stood up and said, Fred Price was sitting down below, toward the front, but not exactly a front. Fred Price was sitting down there. And Brother Roberts got up and said, Brother Fred, I believe God has something for you to say to us. And Fred just sort of sat there for a while and didn't move. And I thought, ooh, this is odd, because he didn't say nothing. And Fred just sat there. You know, we just got done listening to a minister who, all these sort of how hard the gospel is. Should I tell you how hard it is? This guy, he's got a big ministry. Today he's not in the ministry at all. In fact, today he preaches that homosexuality and all that kind of stuff is okay, that everybody's going to heaven, it don't matter what. But he was up preaching, see, the hard gospel. And Fred Price got up and said, I've been listening to you guys speak. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, Fred has a very large church. Fred said, Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden's light. He said, who are you serving? Well, let me tell you, you maybe center was filled, but you could have heard a pin drop. But I want to tell you this. So he made some statements of things, and he just said, he said, I don't know where you guys are coming from. Who do you serve? And but you know, it's one of the things that I really appreciated, because Oral Roberts stood up and said, Fred, you're exactly right, and we need to repent. I thought, my God, no wonder God used the man like he did. He didn't need to be told 47 times about something. He just, as soon as he saw he was wrong, he repented. Oh man, if we'd have some of them today, it'd absolutely be wonderful. Most of our major ministers need to publicly get on TV and repent for stuff that they've been doing. Over the years, it's been wrong. They've been fleecing the flock, doing all kinds of stuff, and they don't repent. And you ain't going to have a move of God through these people doing this stuff. And I'm not speaking by my word. It's what God told me about it. He ain't happy with what goes on, because the flock gets fleeced. People are being cheated, not told the truth. So it can uphold so-called ministries that men have developed and made, not God. I want to move with the Spirit of God. I want to have a ministry like Jesus had, that when Jesus operated and moved in the gifts of the Spirit, it said they didn't praise Him. It said they glorified the God of Israel. They knew that a man couldn't do those things. It required God to do it. I want a move of God like that, where they look and say, you know, Ed could never do such a thing. It had to be God. I want God to move in the church world again. Jesus Christ is glorified. You know, when I came into in 1980, the kingdom, I'll tell you what, God was moving like that. There was a bunch of humble people, and we knew that it was God. It wasn't us. We knew that God was moving. I want that back. The church has lost that. We got all the big names now. I want God back in the church. I want Jesus Christ at the head of the game. And I want the big names, no more big names. There's only one big name in the church. Hallelujah. His name's Jesus. And that's the big name in the church. Hallelujah. If God hadn't called me and anointed me, it's just dumb Ed. That's all it is. So I can't brag and say, well, I just got some kind of genius. I never got a genius. I never got bright. God did something to me through the anointing. He changed my life. To glorify anything else would be a sin. It's God. Hallelujah. Any work it's done, if God didn't do it, hallelujah, who wants it? We want God back. I love the humility of those past among people that God demonstrated Himself through, just ordinary people, hallelujah, doing wonderful things for God. And we knew it was God. Among us, we knew it was God, because we didn't surely have the sense to. If I think what I knew back then, but God used us, because our hearts were just right about things. Our hearts were right about it. We didn't want to be big deals. We wanted God to be a big deal. If anything we did is we wanted to go to meetings and go to places, and we wanted God to demonstrate Himself. We wanted God to show up. We didn't care. It wasn't about, people came to say, God's going to do something here. This is why we're here, because God's going to do something. We didn't go to listen to some eloquent speaker. Like Paul said, I want an eloquent speaker. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost and power. That's what we want. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I am surely never politically correct. And I ain't going to ever get politically correct. I step on people's toes, and God called me to do it. He told me to. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy to exhort and rebuke. Boy, we don't have none of that in the church world today. We don't rebuke nothing. The ministers don't rebuke a thing, because it stops the money flow. Because the money is more important than God is. I want a move of God. I want you people to walk in the glory of God. I want you to partake of things that I've partaken of and I've known. And man, I want you to walk in it. I want you to experience it, not just watch it through somebody else. I want you to experience it. I want you to have it. I want to tell you what, it's like a drug once you get it. It's all I've ever been after in my life. I want a move of God because I've experienced it, and it's like a drug, and there is nothing else satisfies. There's nothing else can take its place. There's nothing else that'll work. I'm addicted. And I am. I have to have it. And I will not be sad. I told the Lord, if we ain't going to have a move of God, I want to leave. I don't want to stay here. I have no desire to be in America in these last days if there's not a move of God. I have no desire to be here. I want to leave. I got so that I wanted to leave in the late 1990s that I almost left, and God had to tell me to stop. He said, you stop it. He said, I called you to stay here in this place. See, I used my faith to leave. People say you can't do, if God don't want it done, it can't be done. That's the biggest lie in the world. I was going to leave this earth. I set my faith to leave. I didn't want to be here no more. I touched over in the heavenly things, and I want to tell you what, it's so much nicer. Those things are real to me. You get over and touch in the spirit. That's why you want to go to the spiritual things. It'll change your whole life. You want to touch into the spiritual side. You want it to become more real to you by touching into it. And it is so good over there. I thought, what are we doing here? And I got over there thinking, man, I want to go. I don't want to touch over in there. I just want to go live there. I just want to go over and stay there. I just want to go into that place. Man, what a relief it is. Remember the old Alka-Seltzer commercials? Maybe this will date me. But... But folks, stepping into that place, the Lord had to tell me. He spoke to me one day real clear. Just spoke to me really clear and said, you stop. He said, you're not supposed to leave here. He said, you have things to do yet here. You stay. Just what I'm doing here today. He made me stay because I need to say things. Because I know things. And they need to be said. I'll tell you, folks, we're going someplace. We're going somewhere. We're not going to go along with it. We're going to have a move of God. We're going to have a move of God. And there's people out here who want one. You know, something I've thought about years ago, and I used to think about this a lot, because being a studier of, I always like to like history of things, but especially in the areas of church history, and I'd study revival. In fact, I have books on revival and stuff, of looking at God, how God used people in revivals and times of things, and how God brought revival and things that he did. There's one thing that I noticed, and I never really said much about to anybody, but I saw it, and I've often thought, it seems that God works in certain ways. And it wasn't until Randall Greer said exactly the same thing I was thinking. But it's interesting with revival and it's starting out. That God seems to have to get, there's usually one or two, sometimes just one person who breaks through and gets a hold of this thing. And then it seems after they do that, then others can just step right into it. And I've often noticed that. And I was at Randy Greer in August down at his meetings, and Randy Greer said, you know what? He said, it seems that there's somebody needs to break through on this thing. And when once they do, he said, I don't know. Once they break through, this is just going to take off and flow, and everybody will be able to step into it. And I thought, I've been thinking about that for a long time. At first, I never really realized, but that's what it is. See, if we go back over and you look at Azusa Street, there was a man named Parham was hungry for God. And he didn't know if the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for today or it wasn't. But he went and after God till the Holy Ghost was poured out on New Year's Eve was poured out. Then there was a guy came to his school named Seymour who ended up to be the minister down there in Azusa Street, which really then revival came out of that. And you understand this. The revival that came out of Azusa Street, the Assemblies of God churches came out of that stuff. All that those things that took place. The leaders of the Assembly of God were kids who went to Azusa Street, who grew up in that and started the Assemblies of God churches. All kind of groups started off. Somebody breaks in through something, and then it just everything else just seems to flow out of it. And that's, there's got to be a breakthrough into this thing. We got to push for a break. I want this move of God. We got to push through. We have to have this. This is not something that, well, we're just going to see what God's going to do. God is waiting on us. We are not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us to get up and say, God, I'm fed up with it. If we don't have it, I don't want to be around. What's the point? What's the point of being here? Let's just suffer through this stuff and just go through. If there's not a supernatural move of God, there's going to be so many people going to end up in hell. It's going to be incredible. I want a move of God. The only thing that will change things is a move of God. I'm sold on that fact. I can't see it any other way. Hallelujah. If there's another way, I wish somebody would show me. I've watched the seeker-friendly churches on how they're going to change things, and all they've done is made people feel that they're all right, think that they're Christians while they're sinning. We can just still live lives and that stuff. We can go to churches. We can go in. We have smoke machines, and we can have all of our lights and all that kind of stuff and do our little concerts up there and all that kind of stuff. And we can do that, go in there, you know, have about 15 minutes of preaching, you know, of whatever. You're okay. You're so what? You live like hell, but you're all right. Yeah, and that's going to make people feel good. And then we're just going to run out the door. We're going to be just don't forget to take the offering. Don't forget that one. And we're all going to be okay, and we're going to get out there, and it's all going to be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. Right. The American church is backslidden as crazy. It is backslidden badly. And if we don't realize it, if people don't, and people will not turn from their backslidden ways unless it's preached. Somebody has got to stand up and not be politically correct. Somebody's got to stand up and say you're out of line. But I noticed this. You stand, when ministers stand up to say they're out of line, you're out of line, look at all the big name ministers that jump on and you'll see and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. No, we shouldn't. I remember that, just like with the homosexual sexual thing. When the government was moving to, and the Supreme Court made a ruling, one minister who was known nationally made a remark about homosexuality being wrong. And I was amazed at how many ministers said, well, he shouldn't have said it. That really wasn't a loving statement he made. See, the truth is not love anymore. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. He didn't say speak love. If you're speaking what you think is love, if it isn't the Bible, it ain't love. You speak the truth in love. I don't tell the truth to hurt people. Well, somebody's got to tell them. The guy that's out of line has to be told he's out of line. If we don't tell people what sin is, they never know what sin is. And if everything's all right, then there is no sin. Then what did Jesus die for, and what on earth are we doing? There is no Christianity. But I'll tell you what, that's why we need a move of God. There needs to be a separation between the religious and the godly. We have to have a separation. People are saying, oh, we don't want to divide, we want to bring together. Most of the church world, I will not join myself to them. Until they join themselves to God, I will not join them. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Folks, I'm a sword carrier. I'm divided.
Talking about the gravel.
And not because I hate people. It's because I love God. I'm going to answer to God, not to any human being. I answer to God. If people don't like me, that's their problem. I won't lose a wink of sleep over it. Don't bother me at all. What I will lose sleep, it's about me and God. It's my relationship with Him, not everybody else and what everybody else thinks on the subject. We got to be walking right with Him. The church of Ephesus started off as a good church. You know what? They became a word church. But you know what? Read the book of Revelation. It said you lost your first love. See, they become a follower of truth, but Jesus wasn't first in the love category anymore. There's a lot of other things they loved. They probably loved how good they lived and how nice they were. And He said, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. You won't have a church no more. It's just a religious organization now. No anointing of God. I just hate to tell you this, but the majority of churches in America have no candlestick. They have no anointing of God. Hallelujah. Well, just be glad, folks, I say it. You don't have to. This way, they'll just criticize me. It don't matter. They can criticize me. It's the truth. We would today would say that the church at Ephesus is a stalwart church. Jesus didn't view it like that. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the forefront of the church. He is the head. It's His word that counts over anybody's word. And I want Him to be able to come and visit the church. If He can't visit the church, He'll never visit the world. The church is the vessel He uses to visit the world. The number one thing God wants to do right now today is get in the church. It's not get in the world and reach the world. He has to get into the church to do that. He wants to get in the church. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to let Him get in the church. I want Him to be able to visit the church and bring the glory back to the church. The glory can be carried by the church to the world and say, come here, here's our God. This is our God. Hallelujah. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are to take the glory of God and say to the world, you want to see what our God does? Watch. Watch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many times back in the 1980s, Mike, when we were full gospel businessmen, how many times the sinners come to watch the show and then get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost? They come to watch the show because God put on a show. He'd come to those meetings and God would put on a show. People would get delivered and set free. Hallelujah. God was doing things. Glory to God. But we did. The truth was being preached. The truth was being preached. We weren't trying to hide God somewhere while we did our religious thing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was in the forefront. God was being glorified. Hallelujah. And people would look and say, you know, they're just ordinary guys, you know. I'll never forget the first time I went to one of the meetings, full gospel businessmen meeting. Man, farmers, carpenters, and all that stuff. God used those men. I think, dear Lord, this is just ordinary guys, and God just uses them. My God. And it's funny, some of them come out of churches where God couldn't use a pastor, but they believed the stuff. It's amazing, the stuff that went on. Hallelujah. Because they believed God. Well, I'll tell you what, I've learned a long time ago. I will not ever say or ever be a person who can't believe God. Well, we're just trying to believe God. I ain't trying to believe God. I can believe God. I have a choice. The word's true and that's it. I don't struggle to try to believe it. If any got any, I got any other thing other than what the word is, it's a lie, so just admit it. Hallelujah. The Bible calls us believers. You should never be walking around saying you have a hard time believing. The Bible says you're a believer. Start saying what the Bible says. You might turn into it. Hallelujah. We're believers. We're not doubters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We believe the word, and God is going to move you powerfully. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Now, we just want to ask here this morning, because it's good to do. You give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to move. But one of the things is if anybody needs healing in their body, one of the things that I always like, because Jesus always amplified the healing ministry. Jesus amplified the healing ministry. And years ago, when I was a young Christian, the Lord was teaching me in the areas of ministering healing. It's one of the things that He showed to me was that He said, concerning His ministry, He said, this is how the Father operated through me in the earth. He operated as a man, a prophet in the earth. And He said, just as you can look at my ministry, He said, healing will always be one of the major things that the Father wants to do. That'll be one of the big things in the forefront. You'll find in evangelism and that stuff with evangelists and that stuff, you'll find that lots of times, especially spirit-filled evangelists, you'll see that healing ministry is a big part of their ministry. It's how God uses them. Why? Healing's a dinner bell. And it reveals the goodness of God. God loves to heal people. He loves to do that. Hallelujah. That's what He loves to do. The Lord spoke to me back, well, it's been quite a few years ago, probably about 20 years ago. He spoke to me one time. He said, you tell people, I haven't been as, I probably do it more than I do, but he said to me, you tell people, if they'll listen to what you say and do what you tell them to do, he said, you tell them they'll get healed every time. One of the big hard times I have with people is getting them to listen to what I say and do what I tell them to do. Because I'll tell you what the Word says and then tell you how to do it. Act in line with the Word. What do you do? And the reason he said that to me, he told me this. He said, you've learned how to act in line with the Word and you learn how to take healing. You learn how to get a hold of it. You can do it. He said, you tell people what you do and they'll get the same thing. He said, you tell them. So, praise God. Hallelujah. See, God's a healer and He'll heal. And if anything He wants is His church well. Starts in the church. The Lord spoke to me and told me during that time period, He said to me, He said, other than my people getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, He said, the number one thing I want my children to be is well, I want them healed. So that's the number one thing. He said, the enemy, speaking of Satan, He said, he makes them sick and steals their money from them and keeps them from being able to do the things that I've called them to do by keeping them sick. God's not making people sick to teach them something. He's trying to get them out of sickness so He can use them. The devil keeps you sick. And if you ain't figured out what sickness teaches you yet, sickness has only ever taught me one thing. I don't want to be sick. That's the only thing it ever taught me. I don't like it. Hallelujah! That's a good God. But anybody needs healing, let's let her go. We join together with a church. Two agree as by touching anything they ask, it shall be done. That's the promise of the church. Hallelujah. Anybody need help? God's a helper. Just come on down, we'll get help. Anybody at all. We're all healthy. Good. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Okay, come on down. The price is right. It's free. It comes with the covenant. It's in the covenant. It's yours. Come on down. It's not asking for something that doesn't, you know, let me just say, calling for healing with God, it's like going to the bank. It's like money you have in the bank. It's not like you're coming to get something. It's like going to the bank, you go down, you have money in and say, look, I want to withdraw such and such amount, or I'm writing a check out for such and such amount. That's what you're doing. The covenant, healing is already in the covenant. It already belongs to you. That's why you can do what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. If you believe you receive it, you'll have it. In other words, you believe you already get it. We're not asking Him. I'm not going to ask Him to heal them today. He did that 2,000 years ago. He took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. I'm not asking Him to do that. I don't need to ask Him to do that. What we're going to do is receive what already belongs to them. Whatever already is theirs. Their job tonight, today is a simple one. And that's what I like about faith. It's a simple thing. It's exciting. They just need to believe they receive it. That's all they need to. They don't try to make it happen. They don't have to make it happen. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. Isn't that wonderful? He made it happen. And what we do is believe we receive it. And He said, if we do that, He said, you'll have it. Well, that was a tough one, wasn't it? I love this thing. Because it's so simple. It is so easy for people to take a hold of. See, it's yours. Healing's in the covenant. You're in the covenant already. Hallelujah. We're going to do something. Let's just sit here and let's begin, all of us, thank God for healing them. Father, I just wanted you to thank you for our sisters here. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, whatever's working in their bodies. I want to thank you so much for healing them. I want to thank you for taking their infirmities. I want to thank you for bearing their sicknesses so they don't have to. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you delivered them. You're so good. You're so wonderful and kind. And I just appreciate it so much. Thank you for loving them so much. Thank you for caring about them so much, Lord Jesus, that you planned 2,000 years ago before they were ever even born, before they were ever a thought in anybody's mind, you already had planned for their deliverance and healing. It was already set in motion. You're so good. You're so wonderful. Hallelujah. And that's what you did for us. You're absolutely incredible. Ah, how wonderful it is. And Lord Jesus, your word says, your brother in the earth here, James, made the statement and said, the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And I want to thank you, Lord. We know what the prayer of faith is. We believe we receive it. And right now, Father God, I'm going to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. And we believe that they receive their healing right now in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you for healing power working in this body. I want to thank you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in her, making her body alive right now. Hallelujah. The healing power of God is working, bringing to pass in her. Bringing to pass in her. It's working in her. It's working in her. It's working in her. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, she's being cured. She's being cured. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good. You're so wonderful. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, your love is demonstrated to her in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. 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 The anointing of God, the healing power of God, working mightily. Working mightily in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God. She receives her healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, you're so loving and good. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can literally say by faith that you believe you received your healing in the name of Jesus, that Jesus healed you. And yet that's not a false statement. That's an actual scripturally factual statement. Jesus healed me. Hallelujah. And that's why we can praise and worship and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing them. Thank you, Jesus, for setting them free. Thank you for working in their bodies and bringing about a healing and a cure, Lord God. They will have total recovery in Jesus' name. The good work of God. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, my. Hallelujah. See, what's over, it makes us happy. We don't want to sit down and cry. Oh, my God, I hope he does something. Glory to God, he's done something. Amen. Amen. You're blessed. You know that? You're blessed. You're in the right group. You're blessed. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe it's just in healing. Maybe there's something else we can agree with you on. Hallelujah. We can agree with you. Oh, the goodness of God, his love for his people, his love for his people. And that's what he does. He loves his people. Hallelujah. Come on down. Hallelujah.
My husband's had a truck for sale for over a year, and I'm believing God for a buyer for it.
Hallelujah. Well, it's sold in the name of Jesus. Let's just say that. Hallelujah. You know, it's just funny because the Lord has been speaking to me this week, and he keeps bringing it up to my mind about, and really, it's for the church. It wasn't just for me. But we have not because we ask not. And that just kept coming to me this way. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things I just sort of let pass and don't ever really stop till after it becomes sort of a desperation to me. Then I stop it. You know, sometimes we're sort of dumb like that. But anyhow, I'm just telling you right now, we're just going to agree right now. That truck is sold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just believe we received that truck sold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're allowed to have that. That's yours. Glory to God. And so it's going to take place. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God. That truck is gone today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. That truck is gone quickly. And I think you're going to get what they wanted for it. Hallelujah. They're going to be blessed, Lord God. These are your children and you're going to bless them. Hallelujah. Because they bless the church. And we just thank you for it, Father. Father, you're doing good to them. And we just believe that truck sold and say thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for selling that truck. We just appreciate it. Lord God, I'm glad that truck don't have to sit another month. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad that truck's being sold in the name of Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there's somebody specific looking for that truck. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And they found it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Now, see, this is the whole thing. These things God wants us. He wants us. He wants us to be blessed. Hallelujah. We have not because we ask not. You know, sometimes we think things are so trivial. So I told him on last Thursday night, you know, you talk about trivia. Wanda said to me, she said, if you're putting on any of your clothes and you find a sock, she said, I lost a sock in Washington. I don't know where it happened to it and where it's at. She said, it might have got in your clothes somewhere. And when some of them, I said, we'll find it later. And I just, you know, sort of let that go by. I didn't think much about it that day. And then all of a sudden it came to me about that sock. And I thought, and you know, Lord, where's this sock at? And it just came to me to go into the laundry where the washer and stuff. I walked in there, the laundry room, the washer, and I looked down inside the washer, didn't see it, and it just came up in me, look behind the washer. And I was thinking, well, why would it be behind the washer? You know, because you put clothes in the washer, you know, you don't throw it over the backside of it. Unless she was shooting, you know, hoops. She was shooting hoops, I don't know. Anyhow, but you know what? I'm just, this just comes to me. Now see, people think this stuff's weird, but God's interested in all kinds of little stuff. He don't want Ed and Wanda wasting all their time. See, people say, I don't have enough time in my day. Lots of times, because I found this out, I don't put God in my day. There's lots of things I could get settled and get done that I keep trying to do. And I looked down over the back, and there laid that sock, right down over the back of the water. I thought, my God, God knew that sock was there and had to go tell me where that sock was down there. He wanted me to know. You know, we look at things as, well, the stuff in our life's important. Your life is important to God, and all about your life is important to God. It's important. And see, when we get over and, well, I'll get God involved in the big things, I want to tell you what, you almost never get God involved in the big things of your life if he's not involved in the little things in your life. You'll never believe for the big things you can't believe for the little. Get him involved in every area. See, you know, and see, we're talking about gifts of the Spirit. I was a word of knowledge. I was a word of knowledge came to me of where that sock was. As a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge deals with present facts and things that let me know where that thing was. A word of knowledge. Can you imagine? A gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, got me a sock we were looking for. See, we think it has to be some big demonstration in front of a crowd. Hallelujah. I learned how to operate in gifts of the Spirit by operating them like that in my home. That's how I learned how to yield this stuff. Hallelujah. By doing that, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit has something to say. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on him here a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brosteta payano mange bore vasi yango de berestili anono ko yala bereto fessa sunya. Vera godishle adassa sascola kiatoshe. Vela go yala bereko tashtina marande gelabreto fesci. Mom roke danda varote pescite de yananako labra de gashita. I have a plan. And I have a plan for this church that I've laid out before the foundation of the world. And I have a plan for this people. Yes. And you're hungry. You want something. You're in a search for something. You're looking. Hallelujah. And you want things. Hallelujah. That others have set aside and say, oh, it don't matter. And they've gone after other things. But you've not gone after those things. You've stayed after the things that are on my heart. You've stayed after the things that I've wanted. And I'm going to reward you, says the Lord. I'm going to show forth my glory. I'm going to reveal myself as you have desired and as you have longed. And I will show myself in you and reveal myself to you. That my glory, because as you've been faithful, so am I faithful, says the Lord. And I will prove my faithfulness to you. And I will show myself, hallelujah, and manifest myself. That not just for you, but that others will see and know that you've walked with me, that you've sought me. Oh, and the reward that comes from it. Yes, and it'll lead them to walk after me and seek after me, and I'll reward them also. Hallelujah. So run this race. Run this race. Go after the things. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith. You will never be disappointed. You will see with your eyes the things that you have longed and desired. Hallelujah. And they will be shown to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you for this people. I thank you for them, Lord God. I thank you, people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you said if we did that, we would be filled. I thank you that they are being filled in the name of Jesus. They're being filled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Holy Spirit, if there's anything else you'd like to do, we want to yield to you whatever you'd like. Hallelujah. Whatever you want. Hallelujah. We'll just obey you. Hallelujah. In any way that you'd like us to obey, we'll do that. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done here today. We thank you, Lord God, that you spoke to us. But also you're showing your goodness and your mercy to your people, your love for them. And thank you, Lord God, so much for doing that. Hallelujah. And we just appreciate your kindness and your mercy. And Lord God, I just expect as we walk out of here, this place, this day, Father God, that this week is a week of revelation, of you revealing yourself to your people, that you showing yourself, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that this week when they call on you, you will answer them quickly as the word says you would. Hallelujah. You respond to them. You reveal yourself to them, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father God, you will answer their prayers. They will walk with you by faith. And Lord God, you will be pleased. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.